why we use it. We just heard Zanab Johnson talking about her life and just dealing with different subjects. Like, we like to deal with different subjects. We like to take the piss out of each other and throw it around and just bond in a way that just tells us all that we're doing this together. You know, we love you, and we love everything about you, including your faults and your strong points, you know, and it all is beautiful to us. We want you to come as you are. So yeah, we just like to expose everything. Everything's on the table. Nothing's sacred, it seems sometimes, but that's because everything about you is sacred. Indeed, we're listening to Ben Branch right now. Play that sacred song, Take My Hand, Precious Lord. Ben Branch, saxophone player, was the last person to speak to Martin Luther King before he was blown away. And Martin said to him, "Don't forget to play this song." That's how you play a hymn, y'all. That's how you play a hymn. There's a time and place for everything. And it's all coming with the spirit and with the material. So before this, we heard Dominique, the great poet, the great comedian. She's like a poet, though, isn't she? And we had Eddie the Dreamer with Deranged featuring Level. And we started the set with Zanib Johnson. Yeah. We're gonna go now into talking about the dozens. The dozens is something you may not be familiar with. Sometimes referred to as the Dirty Dozens. It's where we take the piss out of each other, as you say in England. Check out the history. You want to know where you come from, you find out who you are. Lead me home. And who we are together as a people. Let me stand. It's Black Music Resonance 104.4 FM. Oh, lead me on.
thing that started my dozen talks. What you think about ain't on my mind. That stuff you got is the sorry kind. Now you're a sorry mistrader, robber and a cheater, nephew and your dud, papa and your cousin, mama duty, lordy, lord. There's a nickel and the towel free. I'm feeding me pappy now. Who wants me? You're the old mistrader, robber and a cheater. Lift your in the dust, papa and your cousin, mama duty, lordy, lord. Jumping on a sewing machine runs so fast, took 99 stitches in his yes, yes, yes. Now he's a cruel mistreater, robber and a cheater, step your in the dust, papa and your cousin, mama duty, lordy, lord.
Recall entire roast sessions in which participants would jokingly insult each other in the most creative way they knew how. It wasn't until I got older and began reading scholarly material that I realized that this was actually considered a cultural phenomenon and was seen as being unique to the Afro-American community. The older generation tended to call it the dozens, while my generation referred to it by many different names depending on where you were from. But little did we all know that this likely came from Africa. To begin, I've touched on this topic before and thought it was worthy of a remake. This video is going to be mostly opinion-based, coupled with one scholar's theory on its origin. Even though there are multiple theories as to where the dozens came from, I thought the African-based theory provides the most compelling answers. As an Afro-descended individual, I thought this topic was important because I think the dozens are one of the most interesting things we likely inherited from our ancestors. As Afro-descended people, it's sometimes difficult to prove we do something instinctively because our ancestors did it. As a people, we may feel or know that genetic or cultural memory, if you will, influences us daily, but explaining that to someone would be complicated. And that's why I think the history of the dozens and its clear parallels with African culture can be so significant for our community. For those of you who may not know, the dozens have been defined as a contest game in which two contestants, in the presence of a sparring audience of peers, try to best each other in casting aspersions on each other or each other's relatives, particularly the mother. Such aspersions are made up of both non-sexual and sexual remarks, such as joking accusations of incest, promiscuity, and possession of unusual sexual or related organs. Now, this is just a general guideline to help people identify when the dozens are taking place. In reality, there is no announcement that this contest is happening or that it relates specifically with anything sexual, thus making it official. As mentioned before, the dozens have been called by many different names. I find it fascinating that the social activity that I've observed and participated in so naturally has been studied. I imagine some of you guys can identify. I think it's important that we have a place to document this from our experience and understanding, so in the comments section below, feel free to do so, as your input would be just as valuable. I'm sure there are many in the diaspora who never really thought that what we were participating in was not only something unique, but more importantly came directly from our ancestors. In my view, the most compelling theory concerning the origin of the dozens concerns the African origin theory. The other two previous theories that have less weight, in my personal opinion, are the independent invention theory and the Western European influence theory. I think Dr. Amuzi Chimezi does a great job at highlighting why those older theories hold little to no weight in the discussion. One of the principal reasons why the African origin theory of the dozens makes the most sense is because the concept of the dozens was and still is performed on the continent. Among the Igbos of Nigeria, a game strikingly similar, almost identical to the dozens, is played by children, adolescents, and teenagers. It is usually played at night, after supper, under moonlight, and in the presence of parents, siblings, and other adults and relatives. The aspersions, or invectives, are usually fancied. Actual deformities are rarely used. The game is called Ikocha Nkocha, which means making disparaging remarks. Ikocha Nkocha is found not only among the Igbos of Nigeria, but also in other African societies, including Ghana. In Ghana, as in Nigeria, the game is traditionally an after-supper moonlight engagement. But, unlike many Igbos, Ghanaian players often allow the leveling of aspersions on the contestants' parents and other relatives. In view of the fact of the existence of the dozens in Africa, previous theoretical writings on the Afro-American dozens need to be re-examined. For whatever reason, all the previous writings on the dozens have played down or outright ignored the possibility of an African origin. Thankfully, modern scholars are becoming more aware of the racial biases of the past and revisiting these ideas, and so the African origin of the dozens became much more plausible. Some of the most glaring similarities between the dozens and Ikocha Nkocha are pointed out by Dr. Chimezi. Both the Igbo and the Afro-American types allow only two contestants at a time, utilize a spurring audience, base aspersions mostly on fancied rather than actual defects, conditions, or events, and may be played between friends and siblings by both boys and girls. I wanted to add to Dr. Chimezi's observation, although the dozens was based mostly on fanciful insults, other similar roasting sessions use real physical characteristics as a sort of trump card, or they at least exaggerated these characteristics to get the most response from the audience. One of the differences between the dozens amongst Afro-Americans and the Ikocha Nkocha of the Igbo seems to be the heavy presence of sexual jokes or insults. That may have developed independently in the Afro-American version. The dozens, according to Dr. Chimezi, likely originated in and was carried over from Africa, but not necessarily in its original form. Another difference is the reference to relatives, which dominates the Afro-American dozens but does not characterize the illustrative example taken from the Igbo variety of the African dozens. In Ghana, however, relatives are frequently made the targets of the aspersions. Since the ancestors of Afro-Americans came from different sections of Africa, it is possible that they brought with them different varieties of the African dozens. The use of rhymes in the Afro-American variety of the game is also a distinguishing factor from its African counterpart. One possible offshoot of the dozens can be battle rap, a more intense and official form of the concept, but that's another topic for another day. It's critical to understand that Afro-descended people in the Americas are an amalgamation of various African ethnic groups, largely from West and Central Africa, and so it would only make sense that the dozens will have several differences from any one particular African ethnic group, but share similarities with many, a clear reflection of history. Certain ethnic groups from Ghana and Nigeria were not the only Africans who participated in the dozens. In fact, there was even an African empire further north that seemingly legitimized the dozens and made it law. The Mali Empire had a constitution known as the Korokan Foga. The Korokan Foga was instituted after the Battle of Kurina in the 13th century, which founded the state of Mali. In it, the Mandinka said the following. It has been established among the Mandinkas, the Sanankunya Jokan relationship. Consequently, any contention that occurs among these groups should not get out of hand, respect for one another being the rule. Between brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law, between grandparents and grandchildren, tolerance should be the principle. A modern interpretation of the Mandinka Sanankunya would most closely fit what we would call the dozens. The Mandinka essentially advanced the idea that the dozens or joking relationship should be tolerated. It's clear that the dozens was deeply embedded in Mandinka culture since they took the time to institute it. This means it has a greater meaning for the Mandinka people and likely other African groups as well. Sanankunya is a long-standing West African social tradition where playful banter should be exchanged and was seen here as a civic duty. The main aim appears to be promotion of tolerance and solidarity. No matter what it's called, whether it's the dozens, jonin, roasting, sanankunya, ikocha inkocha, it's obvious that they're all related culturally to an African way of being. I think it's absolutely incredible that we not only have evidence of an African origin for the dozens observed in everyday African culture, but we also see it being recognized, sanctioned, and even encouraged in an African empire. This is significant because, as mentioned before, it reveals just how valuable it was for African society and how it was used as a tool in promoting togetherness. Admittedly, I identify in full with this African philosophical approach because I observed and participated in the dozens with not only friends but acquaintances in which there was mutual respect. For me, understanding the African reasoning behind the dozens adds a powerful layer that I never would have been aware of. In other words, knowing this history gives the dozens a purpose outside of adolescent entertainment. I understand and identify with this African approach because I most certainly felt closer to or connected with people I did the dozens with. This is not to say that some of us in the African diaspora didn't have a bad experience with the dozens, or that feelings of togetherness was always a theme. However, I think we can appreciate the African social theory behind it and its intent from an African perspective. Now, of course, I know all of this is under the assumption that Sanankunya and the dozens are indeed the same thing. Although it's difficult to satisfactorily prove, the evidence seems to not be without merit. The African origin theory gives a greater purpose to the dozens that cannot be articulated by the other theories, and it may be one of the reasons why it survived the Middle Passage, because it doesn't seem to be a phenomenon steeped in entertainment or a product of escapism. It was designed to bring unity between families and a way to connect with individuals who may be different from yourself within the community or state. I can only imagine the need for enslaved Africans and their descendants to preserve this cultural mechanism, whether consciously or subconsciously. This is the reason, among many others, why the African origin theory for the dozens holds the most weight. I think Dr. Chimezi puts it best. Why Afro-Americans engage in this game and what it does for them have been the object of theoretical speculation for previous writers on the topic. Failure to look to Africa for interpretive constructs and a preoccupation with what the writers have perceived as the pathologies of the Afro-American culture have resulted in untenable and oftentimes downright ridiculous theoretical products. Walam Allah, guys.
Bastard, you're everything. And your mama don't wear no drawers. Yeah, she did me this. You did me that. You did your father. You did your mother. You did everybody you come to, cause your mammy don't wear no drawers. That's the dirty dozen, all the dirty loving dozen, the dirty dozen. Yes, your mammy don't wear no drawers. Gals that have their dress up well to the ass, just shaking it and breaking it. At that time, they wore what you call the ladies did, the split drawers. They just be shaking it down, and some guy plunking on the piano, some rough looking guy, I wouldn't know who they were. They had several of them, and they'd sing it right over and over. Say all kinds of voices. Some of them meant something, some of them didn't have any rhymes, some didn't, so forth and all. So I had a itch. Wouldn't because you had the itch. Yes, she's my bitch. Oh, your mammy wouldn't wear no drawers. The main theme was the mammy wouldn't wear no drawers. I thought it was a very disgusting mammy that wouldn't wear some underwear.
Racial shit to her. I can't have this conversation with her. She's French. She's French. She doesn't know American history. I mean, okay, yeah, she's an American citizen now, but she just learned enough to pass the test. So I can't have these conversations with her. Because one, she might say something stupid. And I love her. I don't want to have to leave this woman. Like when the whole Ferguson thing was going on, you know, I was watching it and everything, but what I do is I can't watch shit like that with her, you know. So I had a TV on and she's out, and so I'm watching it. I'm like, because I gotta watch it standing up so I can watch the door to see when she's coming. Cracker ass, cracker ass crackers. That's right. Burn that shit down. Oh shit, here she come, here she come, here she come. Yeah, just watching some Shark Tank. Just watching some Shark Tank. Ferguson, man. And let me just say, I am pro-cop. I respect what they do. You know, I thank them for what they do. In theory, I am pro-cop. However, in reality, I just know that there are some cops who just should not be cops. Period. But just like in all professions, there are just people who are just shitty at their jobs. There's somebody burning fries at McDonald's right now. Even you. know somebody at your job, you're like, how you go to work on Monday, you like this. This still here? Y'all ain't fired Dave yet? Are you kidding me? Dave naps and plays Candy Crush all day. What the is Dave still here? What happened, y'all? How did we get here? No, wait a minute. Let me take that back. How did the Republicans get here? What the fuck happened to the Republicans? If you know a Republican, just give them a hug. Just, oh, it's okay, baby. I've never seen politics this low. I mean, you're talking about, you know, each other's wives, and then we have to sit there and listen to them talk about the size of Donald Trump's hands. What the f***? I mean, they are just like one step above doing your mama jokes. And I have never in my life watched a presidential debate and had the thought cross my mind, is he about to take out his dick? Girl, I thought he was gonna pull out his penis. Oh, sweet Jesus.
How's it going, sir? Long time no see.
Hey, yeah, I've been gone for a while. I was on vacation in Hawaii. I brought you back a souvenir. This is a pineapple.
Oh, thanks a lot. I didn't know they had pineapples in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, man. Hawaii is one of the number one producers of pineapples in all the world.
Oh, that's good. So those Hawaiians must make a lot of money off them pineapples.
Oh, no, the white man makes money off pineapples.
So the Hawaiians must make a lot of money working in the pineapple factory.
Oh, no, the Mexicans work at the factories. The Hawaiians are at the resorts.
Wow, that's good. The Hawaiians own those resorts. Good for them.
Oh, no, the white man owns the resorts. The Hawaiians just work there scrubbing the toilets.
Is there anything that Hawaiians make money off of in Hawaii?
Nope.
Hawaiian Punch?
Not a dime.
Magna P.I.?
Not a penny.
Don Ho?
He works in Vegas.
Hula Hoop?
No, no.
You mean to tell me that Hawaiians came up with pineapple, resorts, hula hoops, Magna P.I., and the best damn punch in the world, and they don't get no money from it?
Nope.
The crackers get all the money?
All the money.
Man, I got to tip my hat to Whitey, man. That crack is a bad m-.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And for my next number, I'm going to slaughter the Indians.
Hey, what's up, man? Long time no see.
Yeah, I was on vacation in Jamaica. Hey, I bought you back a souvenir. This is pure sugar cane from Jamaica.
Man, I didn't know they had sugar cane in Jamaica.
Oh, yeah, man. Jamaica's one of the number one producers of sugar in all the world.
Whoa, that's a lot of money, man. Those Jamaicans must be rich. They got sugar in everything. Sugar pops, sugar snaps, sugar daddies, sugar ray little. Man, them Jamaicans must be rolling in money.
Oh, no, the white man makes all that money.
So Jamaicans must make a lot of money at the sugar factory, right?
Oh, no, the Mexicans work at the factory. Jamaicans, they're at the resorts.
Oh, man, Jamaicans own resorts. Good for them. People love to go to Jamaica. Good for the Jamaicans.
No, the white man owns the resorts. Jamaicans, they work in the resorts, scrubbing the white man's ass and serving him drinks.
Really? Okay, now help me out here. Is there anything that Jamaicans make money from in Jamaica?
Nope.
Jamaica Airlines?
Nope.
Reggae?
White man got them royalties.
How about that big titty girl in Jamaica poster?
Married a white man.
Weed?
Nigga, please.
You mean to tell me that Jamaicans invented sugar, reggae, and the best drug on earth, and the white man gets all the money?
Yep.
Man, I got to tip my hat to Whitey, man. That Whitey's a bad m-. Give it up for Whitey. Everybody stand for Whitey.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And for my next number, I'm going to slaughter the Indians.
Types of guys. I have a shaved head, so the types of guys that I attract is very different. Very different. You know, I'm from New York. I'm used to, like, the hood guy. When I had hair, I would walk down the street. Guys in New York, okay, somebody likes hood guys. You know, I would see, like, the hood guy. They would come up to me like this, like, yo, Slim. Yeah, you. Yo, Ma, with all due respect, Ma, I'm trying to take you on a boat. I was a chicken head. I'm like, he want to take me on a boat? Now, though, I feel like the shaved head. Guys think I'm the positive chick. You know, so I get those guys, they be having dreadlocks. They be in the spoken word. They be using big words and metaphors all out of context. Like, alphabetically dyslexically. Genetically cosmetically. They be smelling like incense and oils. Frankincense and myrrh. Like, stuff only the house supposed to smell like. Like, sir, you know you smell like sage. Be wearing linen all year round for no reason. When they see me, it's like they've seen a woman of their dreams. They always hit me with the same thing. Sister. They be like, sister, I'm so elated our paths crossed. You're the sun to my moon, the Egypt to my Nile, the dark to my chocolate. Please join me in a conversation of wisdom, break bread and drink raw tea. I always respond the same exact way. What the hell are you talking about? Yeah, I ain't with that positive stuff. Unless you got a boat. I'm Zaynab, y'all. Thank you.
You can't do that in this world, man. You can't do that in this world, man. Arsenio, they got rules. They got rules. Like, he has a rule. The bass player, he got a rule. He got to wax his head every morning. That's a rule. He follows the rules, man. He follows the rules. Oh, these are jokes. Come on.
See, you got too into the characters and got hurt.
Wait, oh, we got that commercial? How about the interview? We didn't do no interview. We just were being silly. Okay, we'll come back and we'll act like adults.
Yeah, because my mom told me she wants me to do a good, proper interview. So we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for our next comedian from Philadelphia, PA. Give it up for Will Smith.
What's up? What's up? Hey, how y'all doing out there? Hey, I'm a little tired, though, you know. I had a rough date last night. I went out with this girl who ain't have no arms. I took her to the Arsenio Hall show, and she was like, woo, 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 woo. Well, that's cool. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. I should be mad at my cousin Carlton, though, because he set me up with her. But he ain't no prize himself. He kind of looked like a miniature Bryant Gumbel on a bad hair day. That's cool. Check it out. But actually, my cousin Carlton, he don't have no problem buying clothes. Because he's so short, he just rips them off his G.I. Joe doll and wears them right out the box.
Will is really bombing up there. We should do something.
Oh, good idea. Boo! Get off the stage. We want our money back. Go back where you came from.
Hey, what's up, everybody? You've been listening to this Black Music Program on Resonance 104.4 FM. We're a conceptual black music show. We like to deal with black culture and black music and the culture that it springs from. My name is Art Terry. I'm your curator and host. And we were getting conceptual on you, trying to do a response to the slap, y'all, to the slap. Yeah, so This is our playlist. We just heard Will Smith bombing on a comedy routine on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Before that, we heard Will Smith on the Arsenio Hall show taking the piss out of somebody with Appalachia. And before that, we heard Zanna Johnson talking about how fine she is in her bald hair. And we heard Chris Rock doing two jams. One was Tippy Hat to Whitey, Pineapple, and then we had Tippy Hat to Whitey, Sugar Cane. Yeah, then we had Wanda Sykes. I call her a comedian. She could be called, we might refer to her as a comedian, but these comedians are like griots in our culture. They tell the storytellers, and they tell them in funny ways, and they tell them in a way that hopefully shows us as we are and how much we love each other as we are. And before that, we start with Jelly Roll Morton doing his Dirty Dozens thing. The original song was written by Speckle Red. So that's our show for you tonight. I just want to encourage everybody to... Physical violence isn't a way for us to communicate to each other. It's only needed when you're defending yourself from physical violence. Thank you for listening. It's Black Music Resonance 104.4 FM. My name is Art Terry. My single will be out on Friday, April 8th. Make it, because you're all gonna make it. And of course, I gotta give props to Sun Ra's Orchestra with giving us our theme song, I'll Wait For You. Boom, boom, boom. So let's wait for each other now. Here it comes. Long live comedy.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Игорь Терентьев. Бесконечный тост в честь Софии Георгиевны.
Я по воспомину нею варидил гонторх из гром поро вытаскивая сосуилким шампурским честюлби. Thank you.
It was red behind your eyes. You were young and it was summer. I just had to take a dive. Winning you was easy, but darkness was the prize. I don't smoke no cigarette. I don't drink no alcohol. I ain't had much loving yet. But that's always been your call. Hey, I don't miss it, baby. I got no taste for anything at all. I used to love the rainbow. And I used to love the view. I love the early morning. New. But I caught the darkness, baby, and I got it worse than you.
We have a mix by Art with music by Stone, Savla, and Sarah Burks. One more thing before we start. The first news release is out. It's a split by Ivan Cheng and Stephen Warwick.
Yes. Sun's hollow. There will be good damn camp to check it out. Okay, let's get into it.
Thank you.
welcome once again to A Man in a Room Gambling. As we mentioned yesterday, we are going to explain the second part of some of the most common card tricks that can be performed at a gambling table. Perhaps one of the most well-known is the apparently simple move of bottom dealing. We say simple because most people that don't play cards professionally think that little skill is needed to take a card from the bottom half of the pack without being noticed. It is true that this move does not demand intensive practice, like the double lift or certain palming operations or the Mexican three-carded. But it is important to remember that while bottom dealing at cards, just one unnatural movement will arouse suspicions. Now, as on every evening, take your pack of cards, shuffle it, take out roughly half the cards, because dealing from the bottom is not usually done with a full pack. It is much easier and more effective when the pack is slimmed down. Professionals normally wait until the last rounds before dealing from the bottom. Now, shuffle the half pack. But this time, as you are doing it, place one or more cards at the bottom of the pack. If you feel comfortable, use a riffle shuffle. Otherwise, do a hand shuffle. Then it will be enough for you to flick the cards. If you have already fixed the bottom of the pack, let us move on to today's subject, which is dealing cards from the bottom.